Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn more, or plan to join us in person at one of our two locations once it is safe to do so. Now, worship is about to begin. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. I'm Susan Snow, and welcome to worship with the First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We are one church with two locations. Our Whitmore Lake campus is at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan, and our Brighton campus is at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. Today, we will hear our message from Bill Drabing, who is a lay servant in our congregation. As we begin our worship, we will hear a greeting from Pastor John Reynolds and Pastor Lindsay Hall, who will be leading us in worship next Sunday, July 5th, as they begin their journey as co-pastors of First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Let our worship begin.
Good morning, Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm John.
I'm Joshua.
And this is Lydia.
And we are so excited to come to meet you at our new church home.
We look forward to being with you in worship on July 5th and meeting you in the coming weeks.
See you soon.
Good morning. I'm Susan Urban. One way we worship together from our separate places is when we join in prayer. So please join me in the opening prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for watching over us and guiding us through the difficult times we've been experiencing. Help us to find new creative ways to serve you during the COVID-19 pandemic. Guide us to ways to resolve the racial inequality in our culture and heal the pain that it has caused. You give us so much, Lord. Give us the time, the energy, and the creativity we need to pay it forward in your name. Amen. The scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you received from God. Conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love, and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. You are one body and one spirit, just as God also called you in one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. God has given his grace to each one of us, measured out by the gift that is given by Christ. That's why Scripture says, when he climbed to the heights, he captured prisoners, and he gave gifts to people. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My name is Bill Drabing, and you know, the last 3 weeks we've had a different pastor who has been their last week here. Well, this is not my last week. You're stuck with me for a while. All right. We have been very fortunate at our church, though, with the people that we had come through here, with Pastors Sherry, Bob, and Ann, with the foundations that they have given us for the Christian faith, whether it's through our everyday conversations or through their leading in the ministry. We welcome Pastors John and Lindsay here as they will help us grow to become even more what we should be. You know, our church is becoming very famous for sending people out into the world to preach and to start new missions. Each one has their own unique gifts, just like we do, the gifts from God that we have in our spiritual gifts. Have you ever heard the expression, you know, thinking outside the box? Well, that's kind of our theme today, is being creative with our ministry. When we read the news or you talk to your neighbors who are hurting physically or emotionally or financially. We know this world is hurting. But as Christians, we're in a unique situation because of our history and our power to do something about it. These times are not a time to hide, but they're a time to find a new way to help the world that has new needs. The world is changing, and we have to change how we're doing missions, or we're no longer going to be changing the world. Now, this is a time to welcome new ideas, to welcome challenges to our status quo. It's a time to rise up and show the world why we are Christians. In our scripture reading today, Paul's talking in the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians is a place that he had spent 2 years in his ministry there. So he wasn't talking to people who were brand new to Christ. He was talking to people that had an experience of Christianity and knew their gifts. In some of Paul's letters in Galatians or Corinthians, you know, he's addressing a specific problem, a moral dilemma that may be in that church. Well, this one, Ephesians, is not. It's kind of divided into two segments, where the first segment is just like us as we begin with our Christian faith. You know, we have to get to know Christ. We have to realize that he's risen from the dead. We have to realize the power that we have. Then, and only then, can we start to act like mature Christians and build on that. And that's what he's talking about today in chapter 4 and verse 1, where he tells us, you are to live as a people worthy of the calling you have from God. So this is not an earthly vision, but a heavenly one. I mean, as I read the scriptures in Ephesians, it kind of comes down to one question. How have you grown since you came to know Jesus Christ? Accepting Christ as our Savior is wonderful, and it's a great beginning, but it's not an end. Now, if we stop at just accepting, we don't take advantage of everything that God offers to us. You know, as it says in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. When we grow in our faith, we start to maturing much more into just accepting Christ. We grow to act like Christ. Paul's addressing people who are experienced Christians, and that's where most of us are going to fall into. As a result of our beliefs, several practices should follow that make us grow in our relationship with our family, the world, and the church. We're called. That means we're not chosen. We're called. All right? You know, it's not like, and I was a small kid in school, and you know, when we're doing kickball, they choose the bigger kids, and I would get chosen last sometimes. No, this is not about that type. This is not about being picked. This is about you accepting what God has given you. I mean, we're all the same in so many ways. As Mendisa sings, we all bleed the same. You know, we all fallen and sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we all want the Lions to just win one playoff game. But as Christians with experience, we start to see that we're called to a life worthy of our heavenly calling. We can better understand God's eternal purpose for us and the grace that goes beyond just words. You know, when we're young, you have to do what others tell you. But as you grow old, you can decide if you want to eat ice cream for dinner, you can eat ice cream for dinner. My daughter makes fun of me for it, but I still do it. As maturing Christians, we get to realize the faith that God has put in us. We get to understand the gifts and how to use them. I mean, just as it is now in 2020, it was in Paul's time where he was trying to protect against future problems of people growing complacent. You know, when we live our faith from day to day, month to month, year to year, you get the temptation to get comfortable, all right? But Paul presents the gift of God here, of Christ, that the benefits we're receiving are so clear we can't ask ourselves if our lives are really reflecting that reality that it should be. The benefits of a Christian life are characterized by unity, holiness, love, wisdom, putting into practice what we've heard. Maturity yields benefits in us as believers that go beyond our moral lives. You know, they help the community because we help the community. They help our family because we help the families. They present Christ in a much more consistent way. You know, it helps protect us from the things that are affecting the world, like quarrel and harmful divisions. You see, because when you're in a church and a group of people and you have the love of Christ, you realize you can have difference of opinions and still love each other. You can may not see the same side as someone else, but you know that you're both loved by God. The Christian experience is not merely on an earthly plane. No, it receives its meaning and significance from above. Nonetheless, our life is led out here on earth, which means we have to put into practice in our daily lives what we're learning from God and the gifts that he gives us in order to minister to each other. And just like the grace that's offered by God, these gifts, these spiritual gifts that we have, there's nothing you can do to earn them. They're given. You know, it doesn't matter how good a person you are. It doesn't matter how much money you are. They're given. And if you don't know what your gifts are, I recommend you go to umc.org, type in gifts in the search bar, and you'll come up with resources and questions to help you identify yours and how to put them into practice. We have new pastors coming into our church, John and Lindsay. What a great time to talk about your spiritual gifts and how you can put them into practice. You know, once you know your gifts as a Christian, you're going to want to use them. You know, this is the coming of age of the faith that Paul was talking about and reaping all those benefits that we get from being a Christian. You know, and God in all of his wisdom didn't just give those spiritual gifts to older people. He gave them to young people as well. He gave them to new Christians. He gave them to old Christians. He gave them to everyone. You know, having the experience of being a Christian recognizes that God works through everyone. And I'll never understand someone who can think that God only works through people that look like they do, or places that teach you that only men can lead. I mean, where would we be as a church without the leadership of our women pastors or our women friends, or the leaders we have in church? Or people who think that God only works through people like looks like them. You know, not to give any spiritual depth here or meaning, but Jesus' ancestors came from Egypt, which probably means he was not a white guy coming from Brighton. A Christian in full bloom realizes the gifts that they have, and they're not envious of others that have different gifts, because this isn't a one-upsmanship. Each gift given from God has a purpose and a meaning, and each one is just as important as the other. You know, I may have the gift of evangelism, and I get to talk, but when we traveled with ASP, the men's group, this last fall, and we're working on homes in Appalachia, no matter how much I love someone, it's not going to stop the cold air from that winter Appalachia wind blowing in there. It's only going to take people who have the craftsmanship skill that God has given them, you know, like Brian, Bob, John, and Bill, and how they built that floor and made that house warmer. Sherry and Bob have spent the last couple months talking to us about our gifts and how do we put them into practice, you know, and then COVID-19 hits. And so what are we to do? You know, this is a pandemic of unprecedented proportion. Or is it? You know, why is this time different than other times in history? You know, has your life ever been perfect? I mean, even if it was for you, was it for someone else who had cancer, illness? Is suffering the effects of sexism or racism or abuse? You know, to quote DC Talk and Toby Mac, I mean, Jesus ain't the latest thing to come across the wire. We've been on a roll for 2,000 years or so. After Jesus rose, the Christians were facing persecution. You know, there was fear among them. Should they stay hidden? Well, I'm thankful to Paul that he didn't. I'm thankful to Paul for what he did. And he writes in chapter 4, verse 1 today, he starts it out by saying, as a prisoner of the Lord. 2,000 years of Christianity, it's a long time to withstand troubles and pandemics and wars and droughts, earthquakes, and some really bad people who tried to use Jesus for their own name so they could be selfish and abuse us. Christianity has survived because people use their gifts. You go back and look at Black Death that killed 75 million people, maybe 50% of Europe. Christianity survived because the world had needs. We have gifts, and people use their needs to meet those gifts so Christianity could continue. I serve on a breakfast on the board of directors at the Breakfast for St. Andrews in Ann Arbor, where we serve breakfast every single day of the year. You know, not just in good times, but in all times. It was started in 1982 by these ladies who were coming off the recession of the late 70s, and the effects were still being felt in Ann Arbor with people out of work and homelessness and hunger. And so they said, you know, if we could just get people a good start to their day through a breakfast. So they started out serving breakfast a couple days a week. Well, they got some other people to join in, and it turned into 5 days a week. They got other people to join in, and it turned into 7 days a week. And they talked about how when they started that they would hear people tell them, well, you can't possibly think you're going to serve everyone, or you can't possibly think this is going to continue. And they just kept working. They kept working. They used their gifts of mercy, compassion, administration, hospitality, and service to make this mission work. And so today, we continue it on now. We serve people that look like us. We serve people that don't look like us. And frankly, we serve people who don't even like us, period. It is all done because we're matching our spiritual needs with the gifts. You know, in this time, is God calling you to start or dramatically change a mission to meet the current needs of the world? Hope's Closet out of our church. It's a mission that focuses on foster children. Why have a ministry on foster children? Well, there was a need, and Susie had the gift. As she tells it, her parents had foster children in her house. Her and Dave, when they were married, they took foster children into their house. And so it became part of her life. And she saw that she had this gift for this, and so she approached Pastor Gill and the missions committee about starting it here. And it was a crazy idea. And when they first started it, they talked about their first needs were with diapers and suitcases. And I remember the first time Jennifer and I gave, it was because we just heard that story about, I can't imagine being woke up in the middle of the night being told, grab your things and get out. You're no longer welcome here. And just how a suitcase might help in that situation. And so we gave. And at this church, the people that have stepped up to help, Hope's Closet, you know, Ginger running the clothes ministry that we run out of there now. And this last Christmas, over 50 foster children were given Christmas shopping cards because of your generosity. It's never a perfect time to start a mission. In 1859, Henry Dunant came upon a bloody battle in Italy between Austria, France, and Sardinia. 40,000 men lay either dying or dead on the battlefield. He saw it, and he just knew he had to act. He went into town and talked to some other people, and they went out and they bound up the wounds that they could. He started talking and pushing for a national relief society to assist those who had been hurt in war. And you know he was met with things of like, well, why don't you wait till there's peace? Or you can't choose sides. This is a dangerous thing. You shouldn't be doing it. A million reasons not to, but when you use your gifts and there's a need, miracles happen. Clara Barton learned of this group in 1881 and started the American Red Cross. And looking up their history, I learned that one of their first big acts of providing housing to people in need was in 1881 after the fire in the Thumb of Michigan that left 5,000 people homeless. The International Red Cross was started off of this group as well in late 1918 and 1919. And those of us who are studying history because of what's going on right now know what was going on in the world in 1918 and 1919. It was the end of World War I and the Spanish flu pandemic. You know it's not a great time to start a ministry. But in this time of calling, is God calling you to start or dramatically change a mission to meet the needs of the world? You know, when we use our gifts, we make it a better place. And don't let anyone discourage you just because you can't help everyone. Because it's true, your mission is not going to help the entire world. It's like the man who was walking down a beach and saw a little girl down there picking up a starfish that had washed up on the beach, and she was throwing it back in the water. And starfish that wash up on the beach will die because they get dried out. They don't have water. And he saw her doing this for a little while, and he said to her, you can't expect to save the thousands of starfish out here. She said, no. Picked up a starfish, threw it, and said, but I just saved that one. 2008, during our last Great Recession here, a time when people were losing their jobs and not wanting to give because they were afraid of what the future held, Harry Davis came up with the idea for the Vena Dental Clinic. So the Vena Dental Clinic comes up where they have this crazy idea to have dentists donate their times to work on people's teeth for they couldn't afford it. People, maybe they haven't been to the dentist in 10, 20, 30 years. You know, I've bragged about this mission so much, and I know I'm not the only one. But 2008, during the Great Recession, why start this ministry? It's not a great time to do it. He should have just waited. I remember working with Reach. So it's this homeless group that we have stay with us at our church here for 2 weeks, and I was staying all night one night with the people, and there was a guy that had a toothache, and my gift of evangelism ain't going to help his toothache. We took him over to the Vena Dental Clinic. I saw in that instant his life being changed because of someone's gifts being put into play in a need in this world. Is God calling us to dramatically change or start a new mission to meet the current needs of the church? The current pandemic to people who are non-Christian may seem like something that is you just have to sit at home and wait until it ends. But to a Christian who has survived, we have survived persecution. We have survived other pandemics. We've survived the Crusades, and we've survived leaders who have tried to destroy us. We survive because people had gifts that God gave them and they used them. When we follow a Savior that has conquered death, we have power. When we realize the gifts given to us by our Creator, we use them to change the world in new and inventive ways. Yes, there are restrictions placed on us, but maybe this is going to be one of those times you end up sitting in your home during this pandemic and you create a new mission. Our challenge is to find a new way to meet the needs of others and around us. Do not let earthly restrictions stop us from using our heavenly gifts. We have new pastors coming in, and this is a wonderful opportunity to start a new mission, to recognize your gifts and put them into practice in this world that has needs. Amen.
Howdy. Greg Geis here in the Center Sanctum. I've been talking to the guys here a little bit about giving some of their blessings back to God each week, and they're just not getting it. Maybe it's because they're plastic. I don't know. I went to the kitchen, and I grabbed these cookies. I told them that those cookies are like their blessings. Come Monday, you got a whole package of cookies, and you're hungry. So you eat one, and they're so good. They're delicious. And you're eating another one. The next day, you remember that you can dip them in milk, and it makes them melt in your mouth. Well, now you're eating them almost by the handful. They're so good. And then the milk makes you think of a frozen dairy treat. Ice cream, sure. They make cookies and cream ice cream even. Well, now you're eating cookies with ice cream, and they're delicious, and by the end of the week, I don't know, they're gone. You've got nothing but a bunch of crumbs to give your buddy here. And blessings are the same way. We get a bunch of blessings, and by Sunday, by the end of the week, we've got nothing but a bunch of crumbs to give. And it's even more difficult right now to give back to the church because we're not in church right now. We're not able to worship together. So what do you do? I don't know. What we've been doing is we've been writing a check out, putting it in this cute little purple envelope, and then we've been sticking that in another envelope and putting the address on 400 East Grand River, Brighton, Michigan, 48116. And then we stick it in the mail, it gets to the office, and the wonderful people in the office, they take care of it from there. It's wonderful. But there's got to be more. I mean, not everybody has these little purple envelopes. I don't know. And so they tell me you can go to brightonfumc.org/giving, and you can learn about other ways for giving. Yeah, I hear there's this EFT thing. I think it must be ET's brother. And yeah, electronic funds transfer, sure. It goes right from your account to another account. You don't have to lift a finger. It's done automatically. It's great. And then there's PayPal. Who knew that there was some pal that could help you pay money out to somebody? It's wonderful. And then, of course, there's the old-fashioned credit card. Plastic, fantastic. It's great. I think these guys here may go for that. It's the whole plastic relationship thing. And hey, in this day and age, there's more. They've got something called an app. It's called Give Plus. And this thing allows you to give to the church too. Who knew? Go to brightonfumc.org/giving and learn more about how you can give to the church. And in the right now, thank you so much for supporting the ministry and mission of the church. We greatly appreciate it. The work goes on, even though we're not able to worship together. Thank you so much. And now, a little bit about the Prayers and Squares ministry of First United Methodist Church, Brighton and Whitmore Lakes campus. This group makes these beautiful quilts. And then they give it to a recipient that is in need of prayer so that they can wrap themselves in this prayer quilt and be comforted knowing that people are praying for them. We do have a recipient this week, and even though we can't sign the card and tie a knot for you, our prayers are with you. We will be thinking of you. And we look forward to you getting that quilt at the end of next week and having it around you or with everyone's prayers. Something else that really connected with me recently were a couple of things that I found. One being Abraham Lincoln's proclamation for a day of fasting. It's an amazing document that he signed back in 1863. If you get a chance to look it up, I think you'll find it's an amazing document. And another one is the commitment card that Martin Luther King and the Alabama Christian Movement for Human Rights had. Before people went and marched in Birmingham, they had them sign a commitment card. It was a sort of a covenant with the leaders and with themselves to march peacefully. And I think you'll find that pretty amazing also. Both of them you will find in the prayer today. And please now join me in an attitude of prayer. Great and glorious God, you are good as our supreme authority and almighty God. Your grace extends far and wide to those who confess their sins and transgressions. Your mercy offers hope to those who come with humility and genuine repentance. Your love is so great that you wait patiently for sinful, prideful people to come back. As we worship you today, our nation nears the celebration of its Independence Day. Certain truths were understood to be of clear understanding without proof or reasoning. We thank you for all members of the human race being nudged as equal. Because our Creator endows everyone with certain rights incapable of being surrendered. Our nation has been preserved in relative peace with amazing prosperity for many years. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for life and liberty with opportunities to pursue happiness. It is far too easy for us to forget your gracious hand enriching and strengthening us. Forgive us when vanity and deceit make us believe in ourselves for your blessings. Is the social unrest and division we experience punishment for our presumptuous sins? Forgive our failing obedience in following the truths found in your holy scriptures. Is the coronavirus pandemic chastisement for not repenting our wayward behavior? Help us endure the suffering while taking time to strengthen our relationship with you. In humility, we pause from secular pursuits to give thanks for your redeeming grace. In hope, we pause to uniformly express our gratitude for your preserving grace. Fill us with your wisdom through meditations on the teachings and life of Jesus. Remind us to walk and talk in a manner of love, knowing that you, God, are love. Let your Holy Spirit work through us to perform regular service for others and the world. Give us the temperament for extending courtesy to those who disagree with us. Grant us discernment to follow leaders pursuing your truths, not their relative truths. Thank you for sending Jesus to teach us how to live and pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, and happy trails.
Our benediction this morning, I'd like to ask God to please bring the blessings on to Sherry, Bob, and Ann as they go out to different parts of our state to continue to change it for the better. We ask God's blessing on our new pastors, Johns and Lindsay, and may they guide us and lead us in ways that make us a church on fire. We ask God to help our church be a welcoming place for John and Lindsay here. God, please be with us this week as we seek new ways to meet your people. Fill their needs so that people will look back on this time in history and use us as an example of people that did not sit still but came up with new ways to minister to your people. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited to take part in this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of our community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn more or plan to visit us in person at one of our two locations once it is safe to do so. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.